Good morning, everyone.
It's lovely to see you. Great to have the boys and girls in for this part of our service as well. I want to find out where all the children are. If you're still primary school age, younger, give me a wave. Let me find out where everybody is. Brilliant. Now, as Alison said earlier, this is a family service. We're going to do two of these during the summer, one in July and one in August as well. Next Sunday, we'll be back to Summer Children's Church, where the children will leave us and go out to a Sunday school as such. That's the plan, but actually at the moment, we don't have any volunteers to take that next week. We've got volunteers for the... You've got them? Hallelujah. Prayer has been answered before I've even made the appeal. We're sorted. The children will be leaving and heading out next week. But I wonder, boys and girls, where do you turn to when you feel a little bit like this? When you feel sad and you feel upset? When you feel worried and maybe anxious? Maybe somebody's upsetting you. Maybe somebody's annoying you, giving you a rough time at school. Maybe you're a little bit anxious about moving schools or starting school. Or maybe you've got some big exams coming up in school and you feel a little bit like this. Where do you turn to? Where do you look for help? Maybe you turn to your parents. You say, "Mom, help me." Or you say, "Dad, I need your help." Maybe you turn to a big brother or sister. That's if you talk to them. Maybe you turn to a friend. Where do you turn to when you need some help? But it's not just children who need help. What happens if you're a teenager in our church? And when you're anxious and worried and concerned, where do you turn to? Maybe you're stressed out at school. Maybe there's something else that's causing you to feel worried. You feel insecure. Where do you turn to? Do you turn to your parents, or maybe you're not going to talk to them? It feels a bit strange talking to your parents at that age. Maybe there's a friend, or maybe you think there's nobody that understands. And so it's easier just to play along and say, "Oh, I'm fine. I can sort this out myself." But deep down, you need some help. Where do you turn to for help if you're a grown up? And this might sound a bit strange to you, boys and girls, but actually, big people need help as well. There's things that worry us and concern us. Maybe there's things in our family. Maybe there's a job situation. Maybe there's something in our health, and we need help. So where do the big people turn to for help? Well, maybe you can turn to your family, or friends, or our church family, and they are all good people to turn to. But the Bible tells us that there's somebody else that we need to turn to. The Bible tells us that there's somebody greater that we need to look to, and we've been learning about that person in Psalm 121 this morning. We need to look to the Lord. We've been learning Psalm 121. It's part of a summer series that Paul started last week. Now, boys and girls, we find the Psalms in which part of the Bible? I've got my Bible in my hand here, and the Bible's split up into two parts, Old Testament and New Testament. Can any of the children put their hand up to tell me which part of the Bible would we find the book of Psalms? Go for it. Yeah, it was a 50-50, and you've gone for New Testament. Unfortunately, that's not the right answer, but that's a good effort. So it must be... Give the man a clap. Well done. It's the Old Testament. And Psalms is actually really easy to find. The Bible's full of lots and lots of smaller books, 66 books. And sometimes when Sunday school or in church and you're asked to find a book, it's hard to find. Psalms is quite easy to find because you just really turn to the middle of your Bible. And it's the largest book and it's somewhere in the middle and you should be able to find it. Now, the book of Psalms is a big book. There are lots and lots of small psalms that make it up. Do any of the children know how many psalms there are in the book of Psalms? I'll give you a clue. It's a number between 100 and 200. And if you're not sure, you can look it up in a Bible if there's one nearby. Anybody know how many psalms there are that make up this big book? Go for it. Brilliant. Give him a clap. Well done. I'm not sure if you knew that or you were whispered it or you looked it up, but it's the right answer. 150. 150. And do you know what they are? There are lots of songs and prayers and poems as well. This is God's songbook that we have here in the Bible. Now, they were actually written by lots and lots of different people. But there's one person in particular who we think about often when we think of the Psalms because he wrote a huge amount of them. Who's the most famous person who wrote the biggest amount of Psalms that we find in here. Any of the children know? I'll give you a clue. He was the king of Israel, and he once defeated a giant. We'll go right to the back. Patrick, who was it? Give Patrick a clap. Well done, King David. Now, some people think that David wrote all of the Psalms. He didn't write all of them. There's 150. He wrote about 73 of them. So round about a half of them is what he wrote. And God's people that we read about in the Old Testament, they used to love singing these songs. They used to love singing the Psalms. And so if you were to go in Bible times into Jerusalem, into the temple, which was like the big church where they would worship God, there you would find musicians, almost as good as our musicians here in church. You'd find singers, almost as good as our singers here in church. And they would be singing these Psalms from the Bible. They would be singing them, they would enjoy singing them, and they would be praising and worshiping God. And even today, even though it's a long time since Bible times, people still sing these songs, the Psalms. In fact, if you were to ask the adults, the big people in church, in the whole Bible, there's 66 books. What's your favorite book in all of the Bible? I think a lot of the grown-ups would say, my favorite book in all of the Bible is the book of Psalms. Let's put that to the test. If your favorite book in all of the Bible is the Psalms, would you raise your hand now? Okay, yep, number of hands. Thought it might be more, but there are people, I'm sure the rest of you do like the Psalms as well. It might be quite your favorite. But people love to sing the Psalms. Now, next week, I am going to be away on a trip. And next week, I'm going to be on a camp with lots of children and leaders, the Kilkeel Baptist Youth Camp. And we do lots of fun things. We have Bible times, and we go out for the day, we go to forest parks and beaches, and do lots and lots of fun things. And one of the things we do every day is we get onto a minibus. We have two minibuses. I drive one, and Mark Thompson from the church drives the other one. And we drive along maybe to the forest park or to the beach or to Newcastle or somewhere like that there. And when we're on this camp in the minibus, there's a rule. And the rule is you're not allowed to be quiet on the minibus. Okay? What is it, Molly, that we do and love to do on the bus? We love to sing songs. Now, Molly, whose bus is the best bus for singing? Is it my bus or is it Mark's bus? It's my bus, that's right. It's the one you cannot sing loud enough. We love to sing as we travel along. People have always love to sing songs, and often sing songs when they're traveling along. What we've come to today is we've come to Psalm 121. I said it's part of our summer series, and it's a collection of psalms. It goes from Psalm 120 that Paul started speaking on last week to Psalm 134, 15 psalms that we find in the Bible. And what we find in these psalms is they're called the Psalms of Ascent. Now, I wonder, then, if the boys and girls knew what the word ascent means. That's a difficult word. The word ascent comes from the word ascend. The word ascend means to do this, and the word descend means this. I wonder, can anybody work it out? So if you ascend, it goes like this. If you descend, it goes like that. Could anybody tell me what the word ascend means? I'll give you the clue. Go for it. To go up, give him another clap, well done. And that's what the word ascent means, to go up. These were songs that people used to sing when they were traveling, not on a minibus, but as they walked along and they were heading up somewhere. Because several times a year, God's people who lived in the land of Israel would travel. And they would all travel to Jerusalem to go to the temple to worship God. And Jerusalem was a high up place. And these people would travel along the paths and the roads, heading to Jerusalem to worship God. And they were always ascending, going up. And as they traveled, they used to sing these psalms, the psalms that were sent from Psalm 120 through to Psalm 134. And this psalm that we've been looking at this morning is one of the psalms they would have sung as they traveled along. Now, as they travel along these roads, they're not like the roads, the paths that we have today. They're rocky, they're stony, there's hills and there's mountains on every side. There were twists and turns. And as the people traveled along to Jerusalem, it wasn't always safe. And as they walked along these roads, sometimes they would get worried, and they would be scared, and they would be frightened. Because as they traveled along these paths, sometimes they would come across robbers or thieves. You might know the story in the New Testament that Jesus told about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan was a man who found somebody lying on the side of the road. He'd been beaten up. Robbers had attacked him. He was lying dead at the side of the road. That man was actually traveling on the road that goes from Jerusalem to Jericho, one of these roads that these people would travel along as they headed to Jerusalem. And it wasn't always safe. And so as they walked along, maybe they were scared. Maybe they were frightened. And when they were scared and when they were frightened, and when they realized that they needed somebody to help them, quite often they would sing Psalm 121. It was a great song of encouragement, because what did they need? They needed somebody to help them, and they needed somebody to protect them. And so they would have sang these words that Alison was teaching to us. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, we have a saying that sometimes people say, he's running to the hills. And when somebody is running to the hills, do you know what they're doing? They're running away from their problems. They're running away from their difficulties. They've just given up. Life's just too much. It's just too difficult. And we'll run away to the hills. We'll try and ignore that something's going wrong in our life. When these people needed help, when they were scared, when they were frightened, they didn't run to the hills. They didn't run away from their problems. They didn't ignore them. Instead, they looked to the hills. They looked up. Because as they looked to these hills that were all around them, they would see that the hills were big. These mountains were massive. They were huge, big things. And as you look at the massive hills and mountains, it makes you think. The God who made these hills, the God who made these mountains, must be bigger than them. The God who made these hills and mountains must be greater. The God who made these hills and mountains must be stronger. We've been singing about that in our songs this morning, how great, how big, how strong and mighty our God is. And so these people who were worried and frightened and needed help, they looked to the mountains and they realized that there was a big, great, mighty God. There was a God who had made everyone, everything. And they would look to those mountains and they would say, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He just didn't make these hills and mountains. He made all of the earth and he made everything in the universe as well. They looked to the Lord. And we've been learning Psalm 121 this morning. And Psalm 121, boys and girls, teenagers, adults, whoever you are here this morning, teaches us one great big truth from the Bible. Here's the truth. And this is what I want us all to remember this morning. Whether you're the youngest person here or the oldest, we all need to grasp this truth. The Lord is our helper. He's the one who made heaven and earth, and the Lord is our helper as well. Boys and girls, I hope you realize that God is not a distant God. He's not a God who's somewhere away out there and has no real interest in us. He's not a God who's made the earth and then stays in the background. He's a God who loves us. And he's a God who wants to help us as well. He wants to help us with all the problems in our life. Do you know what the greatest problem in our life is? It's our sin, the wrong things we've done. Do you know why that's our biggest problem? It's because our sin separates us from our holy God. It keeps God distant from us. We stay away from him because of our sin, the wrong that we've done. And the God who made heaven and earth doesn't want to stay distant from us. He wants to help us, and he wants to help us with our biggest problem. And because he loved us, that's why he came into this world in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, because he wanted to be our helper and our savior. And Jesus Christ came into this world, and he died on a cross for our sins, and he rose again. He offers us forgiveness because he wants to help us with our biggest problem. He wants to take away our sins if we trust him and ask him to be our savior. Why? Because he realized that we couldn't help ourselves. And he's our helper, and he came into this world. We needed somebody to help us. You know, at the age of 7, boys and girls, I realized that I needed a helper. I realized I had done wrong things in my life, had sinned, and I needed somebody to take that away, restore that broken relationship with God. And I realized the Lord is my helper, and he had come to save me and rescue me. And I looked to him, and I trusted him as my Savior. I trusted him as my Savior and friend and helper. I wonder, boys and girls, I wonder, adults, have you ever done that? Have you ever realized that the Lord is our helper? He wants to help us with our greatest need, our sin. And have you ever looked to him and trusted him to be your helper, your Savior, and your Lord? I said when I was 7, I looked to the Lord. How do you look to the Lord? Because when you look, you can't see anything. He doesn't live here on our earth anymore. And so when we look, how do we see him? Let me explain it in this way. Sometimes we need to turn to people for help. A few years ago, I did something really, really stupid. I do stupid things all the time, but I did something really, really stupid. It was a Tuesday night. I was in the house on my own. And the girls were at a GB. Joanne was out somewhere else as well. And I needed to pick the girls up at the end of their girls' brigade. And I sort of forgot the time. I realized it was coming up to the time. I was going to be late. And I rushed out of the house, closed the door behind me, went to open the car, left my car keys on the other side of the front door. I closed the door behind me. Our house is one of those doors, when you lock it, it's closed. And I was stuck. I couldn't get back into the house, and I couldn't get into the car. And what I needed is I needed help, because I am helpless in those situations. Now, thankfully, I had my phone in my pocket, and so I thought to myself, who in the church can I ring in this situation? There is only one person you ring in this situation, Gavin Martin. He can sort you out in any of these problems. And so I rang Gavin and said, Gavin, I've got a problem, and I'm looking to you to help me. I'm looking to you to help me. Now, I was on the phone. I couldn't actually see Gavin. I couldn't look at him and see him. But I said, I'm looking to you to help. What do we mean when we say we look to somebody? It means we're turning to somebody. We're trusting that they're the person who can help us out in that situation. And Gavin was my helper. He got me sorted. I'll not tell you exactly how he did it, but it involved a pane of glass. And I got the keys, got into the car, and picked the girls up a little bit late. The Lord is our helper. And we need to lift our eyes, and we need to look to him. What does that mean? We turn to him, and we put our trust in him. He's the one who can help us. He's the one who can rescue us. Have you ever done that? But you see, the Lord isn't only interested in dealing with our biggest problem, our sins. He doesn't forgive us for our sins and then just leave us alone and step back from our life and say, you're on your own now. Sort out all your other little worries and anxieties. Those issues in school, sort them out yourself. Those problems in your family, you can cope with that. That stress at work, deal with it yourself. No, he's not that kind of God. The Lord is our helper. He wants to help us in every aspect. When you're worried at school, when you feel upset and scared, when you're worried about your health, your job, your family, your future, don't run to the hills. Don't run away from it. Instead, look to the Lord, the one who loves us and cares for us. And there's great promises that we find in the psalm. Here's a few of them. Verse 4 tells us that he neither slumbers or sleeps. He never rests and he never falls asleep. So even if you're lying in your bed in the middle of the night and you can't go to sleep because you're so worried and anxious, you can look to the Lord and cry out to him because he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Verse 5 says, the Lord watches over you. His eye is always on you. Why? Because he loves and cares for you. And then from the last verse, one part that we were learning with Allison, when does he care for us and help us? Both now and forevermore. It never, ever stops. It goes on forever and ever in this life and in the life to come. Why? Because he's a good God. And the Lord is our helper. There's a great promise that I often teach the children here in church. I'm going to teach you it again. I'm going to repeat this, even though I've taught you it many, many times. Why am I going to teach you this promise again? Because I have nothing else to say. No, because we need to be kept, or we need to keep reminding ourselves of this promise that we find in the Bible. And the way I teach it to children is I get us to put our four fingers and our thumb up. Because there's a promise in the Bible that God gives to his followers that's repeated time and time and time again throughout the Bible. And it's five words, and we use these five things to remind us of the promise. Here's what God says. I will be with you. You read that all the time in the Bible. God says to his followers, I will be with you. Never goes to sleep. Never stops watching you. He cares for us. And he's our helper. And so, boys and girls, maybe there's times when you're worried and you're upset. And it's good to speak to your parents about that or somebody cares for you. But it's really important you go to the Lord as well and look to him. And here's a promise that you can remind yourself. You can say, I will be with you. And remember that God's your helper, and he'll help you. For the teenagers here who are maybe anxious and worried at times and stressed, here's a promise you need to remember. God says, I will be with you. And for the adults, you're never too old for this promise. Here's what God says, I will be with you. And the one who promises to be with you also promises to be your helper. That's a promise God has given to his followers. If you're not a follower of God, sadly that promise isn't for you. God hasn't promised to be with those who have rejected him in this life. But for those of us who are trusting in him, he says, I will be with you. It's a great, great promise to take, no matter what age you are, throughout your life. Because where do you need to turn when you need help? The psalm says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We need to look to him. He's our helper. And so let's lift our eyes and let's look to him. Let's pray together as we think about these great, great truths.